5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, welcome into a special bonus episode of Stone Cold Shows. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Josh Jordan. Read Josh's work daily on sportsmap.com and follow him on X at JoshJordan975. Quick peek behind the curtain. Josh and I usually like to record Texans content on Thursdays. Not really a whole lot of news there. And I think more importantly, the conversations that have spawned from our last Stone Cold Stroh's episode are still going strong. And obviously, given the state of the team and the common themes that of the conversations happening right now, it's not just us talking about it. But since that dialogue is still going on pretty strong, and we've had even more evidence since our last conversation at the beginning of the week, we thought it'd be a good idea just to kind of circle back to the Astros' decision-making internally. And I have defended Joe Spott on this show because I think he's in an impossible spot. Not to say that he's without fault, but these managerial jobs, Josh, are rare. I think fans want him to defy management, which is exactly what would prevent him from getting further opportunities again in this league, in my opinion. And again, not saying he's without fault, but I think he's taking a disproportionate amount of bullets for playing Jose Abreu. And so that's why I thought it was interesting to hear Astros beat reporter Brian McTaggart say on the flagship this week that essentially Joe Espada's hands are tied on the Abreu situation. You know, we can talk about the Espada thing more in a second here, but do you think there's a scenario in which a player or maybe players reach their breaking point about this and finally say something about the Abreu situation to Jim Crane or management? And also, do you think that would have influence?
I think it would definitely have influence. It's tough, right? Because there's always that unwritten rule about players don't mess with other players' money and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in Abreu's case, his contract's guaranteed. He's in his late 30s. I don't know how you're really messing with his money. And I think this would be privately. I don't think any of the guys would do it publicly. But it occurred to me when I watched him lose the finale the other day against the Giants, I just kind of saw the guys in the dugout. And it just occurred to me, I'm like, would Verlander say something? Like one of the team leaders, one of the veterans, you know, Verlander, Altuve, somebody that Jim Crane would respect where they're coming from. And just in an aspect of protecting the team, like how much longer are we going to go down this road and put ourselves behind to where maybe we don't make the playoffs? And obviously there's a bunch of things going wrong for the Astros. When the bats show up, the bullpen lets them down. When you have a crucial finale and you got Fromber on the mound, he implodes and gives up 5 runs. So it seems like something always goes wrong when one other part of the ball club is performing well. So I'm not saying this is all on Abreu, but this is a team where you're batting John Singleton cleanup in some circumstances. And this is not your typical Astros, you know, loaded lineup, you know, Kyle Tucker down and a lot of other reasons for this. You know, Yiner's had a tough start to the season. He's dealing with injury. But the point is, it occurred to me, like, maybe you need somebody to kind of be an a-hole and be like, look, this is not working. We sent him down. He came back up. He's not improving. It's not getting better. And not necessarily just cut him, even though I think that's eventually what they're going to have to do. But he shouldn't be playing most days of the week with the way he's performing. He's lost at the plate. And this isn't a deal where it's like, oh, Bregman gets off to a slow start. Well, Bregman's not 37 years old coming off a season where he had the ninth worst OPS in baseball. And then he comes out this year and he's hitting 100 in something. Like, right. Those scenarios aren't apples to apples. This is a player that it looks like his best days are behind him. So would Crane listen to an Altuve or a Verlander just like, hey, we got to stop doing this. We're hurting the team. And then it occurred to me, is there any precedence to something like this? And I thought, I was like, Carlos Correa, remember, allegedly, reportedly, he went to Jim Crane and said, we don't want Verlander throwing out the first pitch at this game. You know, we don't think he should get all the applause when we're the ones out on the field doing the work. And from the reports, Crane went along with it, and that didn't happen. Verlander didn't throw out that first pitch. So I wonder if behind closed doors, or maybe even, in my opinion, from the outside looking in, it seems like Bregman and Bagwell have a pretty good relationship. You know, maybe if Bregman said something privately to Bagwell, like, man, how much longer are we going to keep doing this? Like, we're digging too big a hole to get out of here. And we're down to five starters, you know, and we're losing games when Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown are going out there and looking like Cy Young winners. So you just wonder if there's some kind of breaking point there. And I point to Bagwell because we kind of all put this Abreu thing on him, fairly or not. And I think a big reason why is the back of the baseball card stuff, which we haven't heard in a while, but we've heard that parroted by Dana Brown. We've heard Joe Espada say it, but we heard Baggy say it first. So it makes people think maybe Bagwell has more influence here than we even realize, or maybe we do realize it. We don't have any proof.
Yeah. It's a tough question because I think it would have influence. I don't know to what effect, but I don't think it would happen because I don't think this team from the big picture is a Jose Abreu from turning it around. I think Abreu is a critical piece of the puzzle of what's going wrong right now. But I think the other part is, as you mentioned, health and players underperforming. And as such, I think it's hard for almost anyone on this team to make a case for why this team is losing and not include themselves in some form or fashion. I'm going to look at it from a big picture standpoint, too, because there are less and less veterans that are the tent poles of the organization that are still left. So I really do think at least three guys, you mentioned, I think two of them. I think you mentioned Bregman and Verlander. And I think the other guy who would have enough clout in the organization to say something would be Altuve.
Yep.
So Bregman has not performed well for most of the year. He thankfully has seemed to turn it around like we figured he would. Justin Verlander is an interesting one because he was a guy who, when the Mets looked like they weren't going to be competitive anymore, he wanted to get out from underneath that situation. But Verlander also not having his best year. He's friends with Jim Crane. He got paid $66 million to sit out with Tommy John surgery for 2 years. And the Astros have delivered him his only two World Series rings of his career. So I think that puts him in a tough spot to have that conversation. Now, I do think that his relationship with Jim Crane leaves him uniquely positioned to have that conversation. So I do think, you know, kind of going back to where I started this, which was, I do think it would have influence. I just don't think it would happen. So if I rule out Bregman, and I don't think Justin Verlander would say anything, that really just leaves that third guy who I mentioned as Altuve, but he loves this organization, Astros lifer, and I don't think he would ever speak out against a fellow teammate.
That's where I think Verlander might be your best option, where he's kind of a no-nonsense guy. You know, you mentioned it's kind of eerily similar to the Mets situation with the Astros. A lot of expectations for the Mets last season, and it didn't happen. Same deal with the Astros right now. And Verlander, he's only got so many years left, you know, and if his option vests, it vests this year. If he pitches that amount of innings, he'll be back next year. And then that's probably it for Verlander. So I wonder if he may not. But when this thought occurred to me, it wasn't that they'd necessarily do it. It was more of a, if it's not one of them, it's not going to happen.
Right.
I don't think they respect Joe Espada like that. Clearly not so far this year. Dana Brown has come on and said a lot of things on, you know, the flagship about, oh, there's, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. If, you know, if Abreu doesn't produce, we're going to have to look for another option. So we hear that from those guys, yet nothing is happening. So it was just my thought. If anything's going to spark some change, I think it's going to have to come from a Verlander or an Altuve. And like I said, I think Breggy and Bagwell are, you know, I've seen them do some recorded things where they talk together, but they seem very casual and very familiar with one another. You know, I wonder if Bregman, you know, would have Bregman's a brash guy. I wonder if he would just kind of privately to Bagwell, not like this has to happen, you're killing the team, but just like a, hey, man, what's going on here? What's the plan? How long do we have to do this before it's too late and we can't fix this thing? So we'll see. I don't know if that's going to be the case. And I know players don't usually want to talk about other players, but like I said, it's just a point of trying to get inside of the mind of those guys after they lost that series and the way the season's going. They have to be thinking it, whether they say it or not.
Oh, I agree. It's the elephant in the room. The last thing I'll say about it is if you're one of those players, I think you'd be deathly afraid that would get out, because the conversation about Verlander throwing out the first pitch, that information got out and the Astros organization never denied it. And so I think players might be fearful of having that reputation of going to management and lobbying against a player, whether that's really the case or not. Like you said, it could be as innocuous as just saying like, hey, what are we doing here?
What's the plan?
So I agree. If it's positioned correctly, it's a less pointed conversation. But if it ever got leaked to the media, it could be misconstrued or construed in a more pointed fashion. I want to circle back to Espada, because I know some fans don't agree with the whole concept of Espada's hands being tied. I base that off of the people that watch our videos and comment on our videos. Many of them don't want to hear that. But that's why when we have these other sources that say, both internally and externally, I want to make sure that we amplify it, because it's harder to dismiss it as just being our opinions. So that's why I want to circle back to these things. So when you have a Keith Law that has an external perspective, or a Brian McTaggart, who's the opposite, very much an insider there every day and has relationships, he understands the inner workings of it. So him saying it carries weight. So we get a lot of comments calling for Joe Espada and or Dana Brown's job. I want to ask you, do you think firing Joe Espada or Dana Brown would actually change anything?
I think it depends on who they get to replace him. You know, if you bring in some high name value manager, somebody like that with a lot of experience, I don't know who that would be. But if they did do that, then I don't know. Maybe that would change something, because that person may not take the job unless they have total control of what lineup they're putting out there every day and who they're playing. And obviously they could be told that, and then the Astros totally not keep their word and go to them privately after they're hired and be like, yeah, the lineup's yours, you know, but we need you to really take a look at this guy. So you don't know if the Astros might sell him a bill of goods and not come through. If you replace him with just kind of a no-name kind of person, then I don't know. I think it kind of goes to exactly what the situation is right now. But to play devil's advocate, because I see a lot of Joe Espada criticism, and I get it. They're not playing well, and him putting Singleton and Abreu in the same lineup together, I mean, he's doing a lot of questionable things, some of his bullpen decisions, you know, pinch hitting, all that kind of, you know, Joey Loperfido comes up, he doesn't get a single at bat, makes no sense. So there's a lot of things with the Espada where I question. But so let me play devil's advocate. Maybe Espada isn't that great. And here's what occurred to me. He took all those interviews with other teams for several years. Nobody ever pulled the trigger and hired him. You know, maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know. I'm not in those interviews. But from what we know, he had a lot of opportunities and nobody ever wanted to bring in Espada. Maybe there's something that he gave off in those interviews that turned people away. And maybe that's why he's not having success here. I don't know. But if it really is coming down from Bagwell and Crane, and let's not let Reggie Jackson off the hook. He's around these guys all the time too. Who knows what kind of input he has. If it's coming down from them, then I guess you got to do what you got to do. Because if Espada gets fired from this job because he's not taking orders from his bosses, I don't think he gets another manager job. The big picture perspective will be like, you're the first guy that came there and ended the Astros dynasty, you know, and people may not think any further about it. So I think he's got to be careful about what he does here, because if he gets let go, he may not get another opportunity. So, but he's also in a spot where you got to win games and you got to perform. Nobody wants to hire a manager that has a losing record either. So I think he's in a tough spot. And it's not just Brian McTaggart. You know, the flagship had Brian Bogusevic on. He gets paid to be an analyst for the Astros. He's kind of technically on their payroll. He works for the network. And he said, I don't think it's Espada's decision to play Abreu, and that Espada and Brown are handed a roster that they need to play. So why are all these people saying the same things that are people in the know? There's got to be some kind of element of truth to it.
I agree with that. And I think it's just difficult to know. You know, if I were to answer the question, does it change anything? I think it just depends on whether there is, you know, some sort of realization that the current system isn't working. Because you talked about Dana Brown and what he says outwardly. Well, he says outwardly that the lineup is Joe's decision. I've heard him multiple times on the flagship say Joe makes the lineup. But then that's getting contradicted by Brian McTaggart, by Bogusevic. But outside of the Joe Espada haters, Jeff Bagwell's name is also someone who's become persona non grata with the local fan base, which is really, really unfortunate considering what this man's legacy was with this team, what he's accomplished being a Hall of Famer, went into Cooperstown with the H on his cap. But he's taking a lot of bullets because the internal and external perception is that Bagwell and Crane are pulling the strings behind the scenes. Do you see a scenario in which Bagwell's role changes, or maybe his visibility decreases, to shift the optics around the team?
Yeah, if it gets to a certain tipping point, I mean, you're already seeing comments on X. Bagwell is catching a ton of this, him and Espada, but a lot of it is Bagwell, and now Jim Crane starting to catch some of it. So, I mean, we've already seen how the social media manager of the Astros account was going through and just blocking people that were putting out a bunch of negative comments in their comment section and just, you know, we're ending this. You know, we had reports that maybe they asked Sugarland to delete a Joey Loperfido video where he made a nice play at first base. We don't know if that's true, but people wonder if that's the case. So point being, like, the Astros know what's being said about them. So it's going to have to get to a certain point where they're like, this has to stop. What that point is, I don't know, because, you know, I wrote an article on SportsMap. Check it out. We keep thinking that maybe this Abreu thing will just go through June and then the experiment's over if he doesn't turn things around. But I was like, man, they played Maldonado all year. And Dusty was reportedly butting heads with Dana Brown about playing Maldy. And, you know, he wanted to get Yiner more at bats. But I think it's funny when this friction kind of happens, usually somebody goes, you know. Correa doesn't want Verlander to throw out the first pitch. They bring in Verlander and Correa leaves. Or, you know, you look at, you know, the Click thing in Jim Crane, a little bit of friction. Maybe Dusty had a power struggle with Click and then Click's got to go. And I think with who hired these guys, right? That's part of it too in the manager situation. Like, from what we understand, Dana, we think, wanted Espada. We think Bagwell wanted Ausmus. Crane, I think, maybe wanted to keep going with Dusty or get a big name guy. We heard reports that Crane likes big name players, but, you know, Espada was a cheaper option. So maybe Crane was like, all right, we'll keep the continuity together. I don't have to cut a big check. Great. It's just interesting that a lot of these guys seem to not be seeing eye to eye. And at the end of the day, Crane makes the call. Whoever he listens to at the end of the day, it's his decision. So, yeah. But he's kind of gone silent. I can't remember the last time we heard Crane talk about what's going on with the Astros. So I think there might be a tipping point where they do get Bagwell kind of out of sight, out of mind. But except for him being on broadcast, I don't, you know, and that's just part time. I don't see him that much.
Yeah. Going back to your Astros social media, a big trigger for the mass blockings, because the social media manager themselves were getting roasted when they changed out social media managers and there was a noticeable difference in the content and the captions and things like that. But that, I think that's a separate story. The problem is, I don't trust that they'll make a decision, because this team under Jim Crane has a history of really bad PR, especially in crisis. Even back before the Brandon Taubman situation, but certainly exemplified by the Brandon Taubman situation, in which the team denied the incident happened and then walked it back, thinking back to the tone-deaf press conference addressing the sign-stealing scandal, the stupid exercise of denying Justin Verlander needed Tommy John surgery in 2020, and then people made fun of Dusty Baker for invoking HIPAA, but that was just his way of deflecting while adhering to this organizational culture of extreme secrecy around player health, which to everyone observing just makes them look silly because they're trying to control a narrative. And meanwhile, the information is just leaking out anyway. So it would take a level of self-awareness that I just don't see this team having. So the only way I see Jeff Bagwell's involvement changing is if Jim Crane actually comes to terms with how silly this makes the organization appear, which fans will only look past when a team is winning. If a team won't even admit there's a problem, then how can you trust that the team is going to fix those problems, especially as we get further away from the teams that Jeff Luhnow and James Click helped construct, while the decision-making gets proportionately worse and more questionable as we get further out. And there's a saying in sports, I think it was Bobby Knight, who said, you know, don't let a loss beat you twice. The Astros are letting their losses beat them twice by making bad moves and then doubling down.
100%. That's the Abreu thing. That sums it up perfectly. You already got hurt by having to give them all that money, but you don't have to keep putting them out in the lineup to strike out with guys on base.
You don't, but when you say you don't have to run him out there, we just don't really know who is you, because again, there just seems to be contradictions as to who the decision-making falls on. Someone's carrying water for someone. And until we know outwardly and someone from the inside really spills the beans completely on this, we're left to try to just put contextual information together and draw assumptions based on the best information that we have. I hate that this is where the conversations are going right now. I'd much rather be talking about how does this team get back into their winning ways. But unfortunately, until the decision-making clears up, that's a big hurdle. A big hurdle of getting back into your winning ways is putting the best players on the field. Hopefully sometime in the next few weeks, this team turns it around before it's too late, because this conversation is going to get worse if they don't turn it around. Because, and then I feel like somebody's just going to have to fall on the sword for the sake of falling on the sword. And it's not going to be the people who are at fault for the decisions. So that's going to be this episode of Stone Cold Truths. If you listen on podcast and you like the show, please consider give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will be back next week for a brand new episode. And as always, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment, or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.